we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Well, the ultimate question is, who's in control? As we've said many times before, freedom is the ability to put responsible constraints on yourself. And in the last 3+ years, the freedoms of not just Americans, but billions of people around the world have been abused like never before. Interestingly, last week, Dr. Naomi Wolf was at Hillsdale College, a wonderful Christian, serious academic institution of higher learning. And she was talking about this a lot in her wonderful speech that we would encourage anybody to watch on Rumble. But there was something very harrowing that occurred in this regard in New Zealand that I ran across last week. It was a story in the Epoch Times, and it was in New Zealand. This was in December of last year. In New Zealand, the parents of a child didn't want the child to receive vaccinated blood with the urgent heart surgery the baby needed. The state gave guardianship rights to a doctor so that the child would get the surgery regardless of the vaccination status of the blood. And it went to the high court, and this was, emailed the writer of the article, and she emailed me back within 24 hours, very impressed, Nina Nguyen. And this was the response she sent. The New Zealand High Court judge has ruled in favor of health authorities. Therefore, the baby was placed under the guardianship of the court from the date of the ruling until the completion of his post-op recovery, which was noted to be January the 23 at the latest. The clinician appointed as agent of the court was the baby's consultant cardiologist. The patient retained guardianship in all other, the parents retained guardianship in all other matters. The judge's ruling stated, the issue here is what is best in baby W's best interest. The New Zealand blood supply practice in relation to directed donors is in accordance with standard medical practices in several countries, and they're adhering to that. The parent's alternative proposal is not an available alternative offered by the New Zealand blood supply. It is not supported by a clinician's opinion, knowing baby W's severe state, nor by peer-reviewed articles. I cannot conclude it is a safe alternative that is in baby W's best interest. And she attached the documents. But wow, the High Court of New Zealand, they have done so many crazy things with that awful prime minister they had down there. But this is the government, our judicial system run amok. The father, the parents are in charge of their children. And this is just awful. I guess they can abort babies, and that's okay with the courts. But we can't protect them once they're safely born. Jordan, what do you think about all this?
Yeah, and I think this kind of dovetails with the National Citizens Inquiry that took place in Canada that had a lot of great expert witnesses, and I think some of them made some great points. One of them is how a lot of these regulatory authorities or a lot of these college of physicians and such things were set up to be independent of the state yet or industry, and now they are neither independent of either. So I think I want to play a video now of basically how this is an expert witness at the National Citizens Inquiry in Canada that took place last week, who talks about how these courts and regulatory bodies have kind of lost their way. So I'm going to go ahead and start that now.
So the courts are part of the reason all this tyranny and this abandonment of the rule of law happened. One of the other reasons, not the only, but one of them is what I call the regulatory capture of regulatory colleges, professional regulatory colleges. The law society would fall into that category. Now, just briefly, the whole idea of, and you probably have not given any thought to these bodies prior to COVID. Why do I care what the College of Pharmacy is or what it does? Why do I care what the College of Physicians and Surgeons is or what it does? Well, you care. You should care because it has a direct role in your life, and you've probably painfully experienced that over the last 3 years. The idea of these colleges is that we want, well, at least as Canadians, we like all this overregulation, so we want the professional to be regulated to protect the public interest so they don't hurt us. Meanwhile, ignoring that the market will probably do a better job of that, but that's sort of a debate for another day. So we say, okay, well, if we have direct government control, that might be bad. That might be too much power control for governments. They might wield that power over professionals and then control them, and then they can use that to control society more. So probably not a good idea to have direct control of professionals, especially health professionals. And of course, that's part of the reason why with the bill in BC is such a bad idea. So the idea is self-government. Okay, so we delegate the power to regulate and control professionals to protect the public interest to the professionals themselves. And they will have legislative authority and they'll have a body to do that. And the professionals can elect people to these bodies to do that. So there'll be some democracy behind it all. And the idea is for independence from the government. Right? Again, division of power, separation, right? We don't want to coalesce all the power over everything into one body. We get tyranny. So these colleges are supposed to stand up to government when government goes too far and says, no, we have clients and patients to protect. You're going too far. You shouldn't be doing this. We're the experts in this area. You're not. And let us tell you this is a bad idea. Okay. Again, it could be law. It could be the pharmacists. It could be the physicians. It could be the accountants. Whatever it is. Okay. So they're supposed to actually resist government or criticize government or engage in a dialogue with government to protect the people that they serve. Right. Their job is to protect the public interest. And of course, that what that means has been lost in all of this. The colleges have interpreted it to mean protect our agenda, protect the government, but it was supposed to be protect the people, right? Professionals are supposed to serve as a bulwark, right? To stand between the people that they serve and the government. And instead, what happened is they did the opposite, right? And that enabled the government to continue to do what it did. It enabled the media to sway the masses to the government's perspective, right? Because the people weren't hearing from the experts who were dissenting, because there were plenty who were dissenting. And there were plenty more who would have dissented, but they were scared of censorship and discipline by the regulatory college. So they didn't speak up. And then the few who did speak up, they were in fact disciplined.
So I think that's a good example of the kind of misguided, you know, even when we talk about MASTA here, Medical Association of the State of Alabama, it is it lost its role, or its purpose or its charter. And I think when they are basically telling the government, yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, go ahead and do that. And not actually evaluating how it affects the people. That's where the problems start. And they actually kind of self-reinforce. So like, the fact that the professional organizations were in some ways funded by a lot of the government largesse during this to basically get out the word, as well as most of our professional organizations are funded by the pharmaceutical industry. Speaking up against either of those is contrary to their survival, meaning like the organization's survival, and ultimately who their real boss is isn't the physicians or the people that the physicians serve. It's the people that pay the checks of these organizations and the leadership that usually, at least in mine, the society or College of Internal Medicine, College of Physicians. They live on quite largesse, but there's been quite a interesting, there's real estate owned by our organization. It's kind of gets, into the same kind of territory that a lot of these union kind of organizations have. There's lots of corruption at the top. So,
When last week there was a bill that the medical association here in Alabama pushed for, and really what it helped was the hospitals. And as we know, in Alabama at least, the medical association, the doctors group, has been co-opted by the hospital association because they have more and more authority and power now. But and we've willingly allowed it. But things are upside down. No longer is the patient-doctor relationship, as we've been talking about for almost 2 years, that important. But instead, it's the government. The public health has the big club to wield, and we're all paying a heavy, heavy price for it. But you take the baby, the guardianship of a baby, away from their parents for anything, it should be considered a very serious offense by the government to do so. And it's not for anything, but for them to have, and for the judge to say they didn't have any scientific evidence, when there is abounding peer-reviewed evidence that says that this is the spike protein.
Well, I also find it weird. Usually when you do that, you at least have to give the decisions to the physician who has somewhat a conflict of interest. It's kind of contrary. I think actually the U.S., they would probably give it to some guardianship that's not associated with the actual procedure. Because it's weird to me to say, well, it's given to the physician. Well, the physician has his interest at heart, that are probably going to, it sounds bad. I mean, most of us would say do no harm to the patient, but I would say that that's an ethical dilemma, if you're the one operating on the patient.
So, which
would eliminate informed consent, because who's the person consenting to the procedure if he's the one doing it?
That's exactly right. Good point. And that dovetails into a major issue that's been brewing or been percolating up to the knowledge of the public in the last few months. And that is the fact that pediatricians are incentivized by tens of thousands of, I want to believe it's $60,000, up to $60,000 a year, to make sure that they have almost complete compliance with the vaccine schedule in children.
Yeah.
That is startling. That is so reprehensible that they find themselves in this trap without knowing the long-term damage and with the lack of safety data on these shots.
Yeah, it's pretty, again, incentivizing physicians to take care of their patients is one thing. I'm not really sure it works very well. It really creates a bunch of people that care more about little boxes being checked than the patients. But the truth is, when you get down to that level, you really are all of a sudden being an advocate for something for your own interest, as opposed to listening to the parents' concerns or, argument for, yes or no. So there is again, I think in every relationship, there's always, you have to check yourself and make sure that your incentives are correct. But it's fascinating to me that that it's just so blatant in the
whole. Hello?
Yeah. So
it's just awful that I can't believe this case escaped my attention several months ago, but I'm not surprised, I guess, but I was taken aback by how much of an affront it is to who we are, who we're supposed to be, and the rights that we as individuals, the government doesn't have rights. We give them rights. We give them authority over things, but they don't get to be the ones that make all the decisions over everything in our lives, including our children, taking the authority away from us to make this health decisions for our children. Really amazing.
Yeah, it's quite. But again, I mean, the goal is just, as I think the leftist ideal is to eliminate, and I guess this actually comes from Mao in his Cultural Revolution, when they basically said, you know, the key to getting everybody to adopt to this is to eliminate the family, and the family structure to them is a threat because it means that there's something, you know, that you care. Again, all of us, I mean, I care much more about my family than any government authority. And so that is always something that undermines their authority is the family structure. And so it's one way to get in there and disrupt it. I mean, I think that's evident with a lot of things that go on currently in today's society. It's the family is the negative. The parents are the parents that care about their children are obstacles. And not obstacles. You know, parents who don't sit back and read everything that, you know, the AAP puts out, American Academy of Pediatrics, and say, well, that's exactly what I'm going to do for my child. Instead, maybe sit and read and say, maybe my child doesn't need this, or that's not necessarily the way I want it. That is, that's an affront to their authority as experts. So.
Yeah, this is a story out of Montgomery, Alabama, a few years ago. 2 or 3 years ago, I want to say. It might have been before the pandemic, but this was told to me by one of our board members. And it's really an example of how insane our government is. Probably one of the most close to home, most important examples I know of. So the Alabama Education Association held a white cloth table lunch, luncheon here at Alabama Shakespeare Festival on a Monday. Back then, our superintendent lived in Huntsville, and she would drive in on Monday afternoon or Tuesday morning to do her job as the superintendent for the children. Dr. Ann Roy Moore is her name. And so she didn't make the luncheon. And at Wednesday's board meeting, this board member told me that she was wondering what, you know, Dr. Ann Roy Moore would think of the discussion, because what Alabama Education Association set the luncheon up for, the top PR guy for AEA started with, what is it going to take to get more whites to come back into the public schools? That was the purpose of the hearing. Unfortunately, in Montgomery, you go to one of the communities around, the smaller communities around, or else you put your child in private school for the large part. At Wednesday's board meeting, this board member asked Dr. Roy Moore, what is it going to take? And sitting next to Dr. Ann Roy Moore was the chief academic officer. And he's a very overweight black guy. And she could hardly get the statement out of her mouth, what's it going to take to get the white children to come back into the public schools, before this guy sitting next to the superintendent said, why do we want them anyways? Yeah, that kind of sums up the disastrous government autocrats. You know, we care about children, black, white, yellow, doesn't matter to us. We love them all. But clearly, the best interest of the, and we have an awful track record in our public schools in Montgomery, unfortunately. Apparently they do not have any concern over educating the children. But it's just appalling that that's the type of attitude in all levels of government, that all levels of government have taken the last 3 years. It's shocking.
Yeah, I think that's it's true for, again, I mean, the government itself, you might think they care, but they can, in some ways they can't, because it's the government. But, you know, and so even though government's made up of people, it itself, I guess, would be the Hobbesian Leviathan that is going to devour. But anyway, so this is again Dr. Jordan Vaughn, Dr. Stuart Tankersley with America Out Loud Pulse. We will be back for the second segment in a few.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Well, wait, we wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced Nutrition Company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
America Out Loud beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. Well, we know you because we are you. AmericaOutLoud.com. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
To America Out Loud Pulse with Dr. Jordan Vaughn. I'm Dr. Stuart Tankersley. Thank you once again for joining us this week. We're talking about the loss of freedom for the most part. And it's been a march toward this in ways I would never have imagined. In fact, I wrote an op-ed piece back 15, 20 years ago supporting President George W. Bush's statement that the arc of history is toward freedom. Boy, was I naive. With this tape that we're going to play for you, recording, Dr. Mullis, who is the inventor of the testing for this type PCR testing, he talks about something. This is 25 years ago or so. He talks about something that goes right to the heart of the trap we find ourselves in. Jordan, this is a good,
I think it is actually a TED talk that he did, but it's basically kind of exploring how once society learned that scientists could be utilized to really dominate people, it became all of a sudden that the scientist kind of changed things. And he kind of uses the examples, really. You know, you used to be Newton and those kind of guys were guys that were out in fields thinking through things. But once science became where it could dominate, I mean, to win wars, to challenge regimes, it became that the scientists themselves needed to be treated differently. So here's it.
Now, let's see. I've got about 5 minutes left, right? Okay, I want to tell you, all scientists aren't like that, you know? And there is a lot. There's a lot's been going on since Isaac Newton and all that stuff happened. One of the things happened right around World War II, in that same time period before and surely felt afterwards. Government got realized that scientists aren't look strange dudes that, you know, hide in ivory towers and do ridiculous things with test tubes. Scientists, you know, made World War II as we know it quite possible. I mean, they made faster things. They made bigger guns to shoot them down with. You know, they made drugs to give the pilots if they were broken up in the process. They made all kinds of, I mean, they finally one giant bomb to end the whole thing, right? And everybody stepped back a little and said, you know, we ought to invest in this shit. Because whoever has got the most of these people working in the best places is going to have a dominant position, at least in the military and probably in all kinds of economic ways. And they got involved in it. And the scientific industrial establishment was born. And out of that came a lot of scientists who were in there for the money, you know, because it was suddenly available. And they weren't the curious little boys that liked to put frogs up in the air. They were the same people that later went into medical school, you know, because there was money in it, you know, and later then they all got into business. I mean, there are waves of going into your high school person said, you want to be rich, you know, be a scientist, you know, not anymore. You want to be rich, you'd be a businessman. But a lot of people got in it for the money and the power and the travel. It's back when travel was easy. And like, those people don't think, they don't always tell you the truth. You know, there is nothing in their contract, in fact, that makes it to their advantage always to tell you the truth. So, and these are the people I'm talking about are people that like, they say they're a member of the committee called, say, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
He goes on to say how it relates to, you know, just climate change as well, but that's not really the point of our discussion. But I just thought it was fascinating to think that he's right. I mean, you know, instead of being these kind of curious, you know, what we would call society's weirdos for, you know, for much of history, scientists became people that really, I mean, first of all, he's right. I mean, there's a money attractant to it. And I think that's one of the reasons, if you were to ask me why I think medicine, especially in the midst of a crisis, failed so bad, was because many of the people in my age group, maybe even yours, Stuart, I think it's probably less in y'all's group, but over time, it's become an effective place to put smart people that want to make a good income. And I think that really showed itself in the last, 3 years, because again, a lot of these people, instead of speaking up and doing the right thing, were much more able to just sit back and make sure their house payment, which was probably too big to begin with, continued to be paid. And I think that, again, goes to...
Yeah, there are multiple houses, probably, because, yeah, there is a video that we can talk about maybe next week, but it's called COVIDism that's just come out on YouTube, I think. It might be only on Rumble. But it goes into the details of all these professionals, all these experts, and their conflicts of interest with Gilead, who makes Remdesivir, or Pfizer. It's a rotating door. It's amazing how nobody has any qualms. To me, I've said this before on this podcast, the issue can be, the epitome of this whole disaster is, to me, clearly exemplified in none other than Air Fauci. His wife, who she doesn't have his last name, is the ethics director for the clinical side of the NIH. If that doesn't explain this whole disaster, I don't know anything better than that. There is no ethics at their level. It is all me power, me power, me power.
Yeah, if the head of ethics at the NIH signs off on her husband,
right,
being the person that is getting evaluated for his ethical stance or ethical projects, that in itself is an ethical conflict. And if they can't see, you know, it's like the, you know, the speck in your eye versus the plank in your own. And there, I, you know, I'm putting there. So, because I mean, to me, that's, you know, just start there. I mean, conflicts of interest day one would have been, well, you know what? I can't take this job. Or, you know, if they had the job before they got married, be like, well, we can't date or get married. You know, I mean, that seems like we're going to have to take a job somewhere else. I mean, it seems like that's pretty obvious. You know, but in the government, evidently, it's okay. I'd say at any other private level, that would have been almost, you know, outside of a true family business. And even within a family business, you'd have to have somebody outside helping with those kind of decisions. It's
the perfect racket. It's the perfect racket. But I remember reading about when Giuliani took down the mob in New York, people were saying, you know, a lot of people kind of quipped, well, the government can't stand competition. Well, right. Exactly. When the government can take control of more and more and more at your and my expense, fine by them. And 1819 News last week here in our state has run several interesting articles. One of them was a very interesting interview that Brian Dawson did with Malone. But Malone goes into this fifth-gen battle design and how all of this is a control over our thoughts and minds and our volition. And that's exactly their goal, to co-opt everything, not only our genetics with the shots, but our thoughts. And they think they can replace our the hole in our soul that can only be replaced with God. They think they can override that, and we don't need a soul. That we are to be used for their ends and their ends alone. And that's where we find ourselves in, golly, breakneck speed in the last few years. But this, you know, the currency that they're going to make only electronic, like they just signed off of in Europe a week or two ago in Europe, you can't withdraw more than $1,000 or euros, maybe, out of a bank. You cannot do it. That's pending inaction or action, but they just passed that law. They have to have control over everything we do, because that's what gives them their sickness, their depravity, thinks that their control is the ends to justify all means. And that's the trap we're in. To the point.
Yeah, and that's just, you know, I think the I would agree that you know, I used to think probably in the early 2000s, late 90s, that the ping pong Nixon days of getting China to be exposed to the market was going to be pretty obvious that people eventually, I think, you know, I didn't think China could have as much wealth as they were going to see in the market. And people would continue to be ruled under an authoritarian communist dictatorship. But I was wrong. So there's nothing wrong. I mean, what I'm saying is, you know, now I sit back and say that's so naive to think that everyone has the same desires to be free, first of all. Second of all, that they culturally were raised in the same culture that values independence and values freedom. And I think that's where we went wrong. The other thing is, you didn't realize that controlling the economy and making yourself very wealthy gives you even more power to control your people. And I think that's where, you know, so a lot of these kind of misguided, I mean, I really think that a lot of these, you know, free market visions for places like Iraq, Afghanistan, and China, the reason they fail is because, you know, there has to be the right, you know, kindling and basic environment for that to succeed. Yeah. I mean, I think that's why
Yeah.
As an American, you know, as America, we are very close to really changing that secret sauce to make it where we are much more likely to want to be ruled and dictated to rather than free.
Yeah, I was having a very interesting discussion with a couple of friends recently, and you look at, just step back and take a look at the baby boomers as a generation. Romans 1, the Lord tells us all these awful things that are going to happen to a culture if they turn from him. And there are two reasons for the degradation of the culture. Number one is they don't glorify me. And the second one is interesting. The second one, if you were to think, what would be the two big things that would allow a culture to destroy itself morally? I don't think you'd think of the first three or four issues you would think of this, but it is big to the Lord, and it obviously should be to us. They did not glorify me, nor were they thankful. And if you look at the baby boomers as a general statement, they are the biggest group of ingrates in the history of the planet. All they were given and started with, and all they're destroying on their way out the door, is just epic. And I think that kind of explains a lot of reasons for the traps we're in as much as anything.
Agreed. So, well, this is again Dr. Jordan Vaughn, Dr. Stuart Tankersley, with America Out Loud Pulse. We'll be back for our final segment in a few.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Whether you're an independent, a Democrat, or a Republican, one thing remains true. Airborne viruses love us equally. You've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the advanced nasal solution Cofix RX. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. Did you know that doctors and nurses have been swabbing their noses with povidone iodine to protect from airborne threats like colds, flus, and pandemic-era strains for decades? Cofix RX took that idea and made a more complete nasal formula with lasting cleansing effects. Maybe you're traveling soon or going to an event. Are you concerned somebody nearby might be sick? Maybe the office or classroom stresses you out. Get yourself a bottle of Cofix RX nasal solution. Spray goodbye to colds and flus with a Cofix RX nasal solution cleanse. That's COFIXRX.com. Save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD at COFIXRX.com.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order, risk-free. Love it or your money back, guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code out loud.
Well, the out loud truth was the rallying call that started it all. A wide spectrum of programming from world and political news to societal, your health, and cultural stories. 7 amazing years of news stories, informative podcasts, and great talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
This week's third segment of this week's program of America Out Loud Pulse. I'm Dr. Stuart Tankersley, and I think for this final segment, there was a fascinating hearing. It seemed like a legal hearing in Canada on the 14th of this month. And in this testimony, Dr. Jessica Rose, who has a doctorate in computational biology and two postdoctoral degrees, one in molecular biology and one in biochemistry. She's been studying the science and data of COVID relentlessly since 2020 and is highly respected around the world. Her testimony is just perfect. She gives several elements and background of what's going on, and the last 3 years. But she has been one of the top, I would guesstimate, top 20 voices of reason in the world the last 3 years during COVID, the lies of COVID. And she goes through, she kind of eviscerates the whole paradigm in many ways. But I was just going to give several of the examples. She starts out talking about, she just skewers the CDC, FDA, HHS, the VAERS system. Everything has been built on lies. And in particular, she talks about that the placebo group, she brings out the very important point that I think a lot of us overlook, and that was when the vaccine was rolled out, they destroyed the placebo group, the control group. And she plays a clip of Dr. Zhang of the on the expert FDA panel saying that the placebo group has been lost as of May of 21. That was intentional. They gave all of the participants who did not receive the vaccine, they gave them the vaccine, so we have no control. Therefore, you cannot say that this vaccine is safe or effective. There's nothing to compare it to. She also gives out the evidence, and this is, once again, like all of our evidence, it's just what they, like Pfizer or the FDA or the CDC, it's their own data. But we just expose it, and it's so easy to do, unfortunately. Most of the time, but of course the media doesn't report it. One of the points she makes was that we had enough data by the end of January of 2021, 6 weeks after the rollout of the vaccine. Using their data, we had enough information to know that this wasn't safe. These shots were not safe. And then she goes on to point out, why are the CDC, FDA, and HHS not asking questions? A very important question. I had forgotten that the VAERS system, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, was established when this whole, back under Reagan in 86, the VAERS reporting system, if you will, was established as a trade-off for this pharmaceutical immunity in order to monitor safety signals. Well, she makes the brilliant point, if they are not using it, then they shouldn't have immunity. I think that is a very brilliant point that I hope they are destroyed. I just have to say, based on the information that they've released, they should no longer be a part of civil society. Around the 10-minute mark of her testimony, once again, she was a sworn witness in this Canadian hearing. She explains the basic technology used in the messenger RNA shots and how ludicrous it is that we would give our bodies the instructions to force our bodies to make a known toxin called the spike protein. But not only is the spike protein a problem that our body then produces, but the messenger RNA that they use in the shots is intentionally designed, a little technical term here, they replace the uridine for the pseudouridine. And what this does is it allows the messenger RNA strands to evade our innate immune detection by evading toll-like receptors and things that are protective that obviously the Lord designed us with. And they are designed not only to evade this, but they are designed to be very stable and durable that allows them to stay longer and do more damage, obviously. The resultant spike protein has these substitutions that are now allow the new spike protein to remain in a more closed configuration, and this in order to make it last longer. And then she also goes into the weeds again with the furin cleavage site that makes it more infectious. It's not, by the way, this is part of the spike protein that was coded for intentionally by man that has patents on it. In other words, it didn't come out of a pangolin or a bat. It came from a lab. It's not found in the initial version, the original version of SARS, this furin cleavage site. And it has an additional translocation site for work in the nucleus. And so it gets into the nucleus, so and that impairs the DNA cancer protection mechanism, some of them that we know of. Okay, so you had the spike protein that is produced initially. You have the by the cells, our own cells. You have the messenger RNA that causes that. You also have the lipid nanoparticle that is a known toxin. And these lipid nanoparticles that are used, the messenger RNA, if you injected it straight into the body, would be destroyed by the body. But if it's attached to these lipid nanoparticles that have these cationic, they're called cationic nanoparticles, very toxic. And the lipid nanoparticles focus into the liver. The initial amount is in the injection site, but then the second highest concentrations in the liver. And this is important because of the many effects in the body, including, and this is what Dr. Vaughn Jordan talks about and really is one of the experts in the world on, the impact in the liver on the by these lipid nanoparticles dysregulates the clotting factors and the cascade that occurs when we have blood clots. And also, if these the liver helps protect against amyloidosis, which is abnormal proteins that really muck up the system, if you will, in any organ, especially, of course, in the bloodstream. And therefore, you have all these clots that aren't broken down, and we have poor oxygenation of our tissues. Excuse me. In 2017, the flu vaccine adverse event types, she goes on and talks more about the vaccines. And in particular, in regards to fibrinogen, which is a part of our fibrin and plasminogen are made in the liver. And these are important for the clotting, the breakdown of clots as well. And the VAERS adverse events associated with fibrinogen defects, if you include these four or five issues, bleeding, excess adverse events, or adverse events including bleeding, estimated 6.4 million in the U.S. 6.4 million. Blood clots, significant blood clots, 995,000. That's a million people suffering from blood clots, significant blood clots. Neurological abnormalities or symptoms or dysfunctions, 13.3 million adverse events. This is VAERS data. And then allergies, 2.8 million patients suffering from this. And then amyloidosis, almost 500,000. 476,000. All of these varied issues are in their data system, in the VAERS system. And I spoke a minute ago, but she was comparing the 2017 flu vaccine adverse events in the VAERS system. There were 1,700 types of adverse events. 1,700 types. In 2021, so they compared, she compared the 2017 data for the flu shot versus 2021 in the COVID shot. There weren't 1,700 types of adverse events. There were 15,042. Almost a tenfold increase in the types of adverse events. These shots are pathogenic, period. End of sentence, exclamation mark. It was a beautiful presentation, unfortunately is tragic in its truth, but this has all been intentional. And then last week, what did they do? Because the emergency was declared by the president to end next week, the FDA last week outlawed the two Pfizer and Moderna shots that have been with us. And so now the monovalent, the initial Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are outlawed now. But of course, do not fear, because the bivalent vaccines that were created last year, the Pfizer edition was 8 months ago, to which only 16% of Americans have gotten it. In other words, nobody's buying into these things anymore. Thank the Lord. But the reality is these shots, the data is clear, are toxic, as they knew. Beginning in 2009 time frame, Dr. Michael Yeadon, the chief respiratory division scientist for Pfizer at the time, he said that his lab discovered that the spike protein is toxic. So we've known, and now we're not only getting the damage from the spike protein that our bodies are producing, but we also have verifiable damage from the lipid nanoparticles and the polyethylene glycol, which is a part of the lipid nanoparticle complex, if you will. Sorry to get technical there, too technical maybe, but the messenger RNA itself, all of these components are damaging and killing people. And it's not only do they need to stop these other ones post haste, it was amazing how quickly they all of a sudden decided one day. They're investing billions in supporting and advertising. Everybody needs to get these shots. The next day, they're outlawed. Of course, they have other ones that you can go get a replacement shot with. But 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Switzerland outlawed the shots unless your doctor advises you get them. And of course, no doctor in Switzerland is going to advise you get them, because then they're on the hook for being culpable for giving people something that they know that damages them. But it was a fascinating day. There were several other world-renowned experts speaking at this legal proceeding in, I think it was in Ottawa, but she gave wonderful testimony, Dr. Jessica Rose, and we have not sung her praise enough in the last year with our podcast, but Jordan and I were thinking that she is past due in receiving our commendations for the hard, wonderful work she's done and her expertise in digging through these systems. She just has the training and the brilliance to do such a good job at it. But with that, I want to thank you for joining us this week, and we look forward to being back with you next week. For America Out Loud Pulse, I'm Dr. Stuart Tankersley and Jordan Vaughn. By the way, Jordan is speaking this weekend in Dallas at the FLCCC second event, sold out like the one in Orlando that we had last October. I unfortunately can't make that one, but Jordan, I'm sure, is going to do a great job. I'm proud of him and praying that he will have an effective, true, accurate scientific delivery and that it will be well received. With that, I thank you once again for joining us.